Sports Radio 94 WIP. I'm Tom Kelly in for Big Daddy Graham on a Thursday morning. And we do have a little bit of breaking news here. Breaking news on 94 WIP brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Vans. Find out how far an extra mile really goes at Mercedes-Benz. And they have ratified the election results. And Joe Biden will be the next president of the United States. So just a little breaking news that is, you know, pretty relevant, we think. So pass that along. If you want any more coverage of those events, you can switch over to KYW News Radio. They have been covering everything over the course of the last 24 hours. So wanted to pass that newsworthy piece of information along and get back to the sports conversation here, if you would like. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. 215-592-9494 if you want to join the show. And we've been discussing tonight, obviously, Howie Roseman and, you know, whether you trust the Eagles organization moving forward, whether you trust Jeffrey Lurie in terms of Howie Roseman's role, whether you trust Howie. And Howie, you know, spoke this week, made, I thought, a lot of excuses about why things went the way they did this season. Pandemic and how that influenced their decision to go with more older players instead of younger players. And, you know, I didn't think it was a great look. I thought it was taking ownership and accountability without truly taking ownership and accountability. And as we move forward here, the Eagles got to figure out this front office situation. And, you know, I think Howie can remain with the organization and do some good things. I think he is good with the salary cap generally. Had a bad year this year, but you see what he's done even this week. Restructuring Alshon Jeffrey, restructuring Malik Jackson's contracts, creates $23 million in cap space. That is a clever thing to do, and it's going to help this football team this year. He's good with trades, not good with drafting, not good with player evaluations. And if he is not willing to give those types of things up, then he needs to go. And Jeffrey Lurie needs to make that determination as to whether they can bring people in around Howie or whether Howie needs to go completely. So that's one of the things that we've been discussing here. Also, the Sixers, as they had a very entertaining game on Wednesday night. They edged the Wizards 141-136, win by five. They're up 20-plus, and Wizards made a run to get back into it. Bradley Beal just was on fire. He went for 60, but in the end, last few minutes of the game, Joel Embiid dominated, and that is exactly what we've been waiting for. It's exactly what we've wanted to see from Joel Embiid, and he's talked about every year coming in better shape, what he needs to do to be an MVP from a physical fitness perspective. And, you know, every year you've heard him say those things, but we really haven't seen the fruits of that labor. And you've seen him, you know, carrying around extra weight and looking gassed at the end of games. He didn't look that way. He hasn't looked this way this season. He didn't look that way on Wednesday night. And in the last 5 minutes, despite what Bradley Beal was doing in a game that looked like it might get away, Joel Embiid in the last 5 minutes pretty much said, I'm the best player on the floor, and I'm going to take this game over. I'm going to win this game for my team. And it's exactly what he did on both ends of the floor. And, you know, if he's going to play like that, if Joel Embiid is going to take his game to the next level, it makes you reevaluate a lot of things. And it makes you reevaluate whether you really need to do this Ben Simmons for James Harden trade. And it's what we'll be talking about for weeks here until there's a resolution. But I'm not sure if this is the way you need to go now. Where can you make moves around those two guys, around the rest of the roster, and surround them with better players, and can you compete for a title now? That's ultimately what this is all about. You need to compete for a championship in the next 3 years. This is Joel Embiid's window. It's his prime. It's the last 3 years of his contract here. You're not going to have a better chance to win a championship. Can you do it with Ben Simmons? We're already seeing the impact of just putting players who fit better around Simmons and Embiid. Seth Curry's been tremendous. Danny Green has been very productive. Tobias Harris has looked significantly better with Doc Rivers, the guy that he flourished under in L.A., and with players who complement him better as well. So, you know, Daryl Morey, you know he's going to make some moves. Can he get role players that will help supplement this roster, add depth, and can you make a run with Simmons and Embiid rather than kind of blowing things up and trading Ben Simmons for James Harden? 215-592-9494, 215-592-9494. Open lines right now if you want to get in. But I had to get to something real quick here. As it's been, and I can't believe this has turned into such a big topic this week. I really can't. And I think it's pretty ridiculous, to be honest with you. The outrage, I would say in many cases, phony outrage over the Eagles and what they did on Sunday night, putting Nate Sudfeld in the game. I mean, I don't understand any Eagles fan who wanted the Eagles to win that game. And if you did, you don't know what you're like, what's best for your franchise. First of all, you really want to win a meaningless game to get the Giants in the playoffs. Who gives a damn about the Giants? For what? For pride? For, you know, the satisfaction of my Eagles won their final game of the season? Who cares? It's the difference between the 6th and 9th pick. And while that doesn't sound like a significant difference, it is a significant difference. The chart, as we referenced earlier, that I'm sure Howie loves, tells you the difference between 6 and 9 is a second round pick. Like, that's a big deal. And there are going to be players available at 6 at positions of need for the Eagles, be it wide receiver, be it cornerback, with Ja'Marr Chase, Patrick Surtain, Devontae Smith, that are just not going to be there at 9. They're not. So, first of all, the outrage of all that, and we'll get to the national pundits who are going nuts over this in a little bit. But I thought it was ridiculous. But then it turned into a whole nother thing where was there discord within the team about going to Nate Sudfeld? And Jeff McClain wrote a piece the other day. Jeff McClain is a very good reporter. And I totally believe the piece that he published about certain players being upset with the decision to go to Nate Sudfeld. But then there was kind of, a little reaction from a couple veterans in the Eagles locker room. Jason Kelsey, who it was said, went to Doug and asked about the decision. He said he did do that, but did it in a respectful manner, and had an inkling that Nate Sudfeld was going to play. Now, Brandon Graham joined Angelo and the morning team on Wednesday, and here was Brandon on whether going to Sudfeld, he feels, was Doug's call.
I don't know. You got to ask Doug that, man, because all I know is listen, we don't never hear from the top. We always hear from Doug, so you will have to ask him on that one. But I know that he told that people was going to get opportunities in this last game, so get your mind right and make sure that you're ready and prepared for this game because you're going to get an opportunity to show what you can do.
Now, there was obviously a lot of speculation that came from the front office. And maybe I'm being naive here. I honestly do believe it came from Doug. I really do. And I think it was because Doug, being a backup quarterback for the entirety of his career, pretty much. Like, yeah, he started here for a little bit, but we knew that was kind of a keep-the-seat-warm situation for Donovan until Donovan was ready to go. I think he wanted to get Nate Sudfeld in game. I think he wanted to give him some playing time. I think he looked at it as a reward for Nate Sudfeld, who had been here for 4 years. Be it right or not, that's at least what I thought about it. Here's more from Brandon Graham on the Giants chiming in on this decision.
I just felt like when the Giants started barking, talking, that's when everybody kind of started, because I already knew Coach was going out there to win, but he was going out there to really see what's on his roster and make sure that Nate got a chance to go out there and get an opportunity to play.
And again, this is no different than any team does in Week 17. Every team does this. It was only a big deal because it was national television. It was a primetime game. This game was during the day at 1 o'clock. Nobody would care. We wouldn't care. The national media wouldn't care. You know, they just wanted something to talk about, so they got all outraged over this. When this is what teams do, they evaluate what they have in the final week of the season. Here's more from Brandon Graham.
He was supposed to play in the third and fourth quarter, but I know some good things that was happening with Jalen. He wanted to see some more, probably. And so by the fourth quarter came, he was like, yeah, I told Nate he was going to play. So, of course, he put him in.
So that's Brandon Graham right there saying they knew. He knew. He's a guy on the defensive side of the ball saying that he knew Nate Sudfeld was going to play in this game. Now, I do believe there was a aspect of this where the Eagles, when you're starting Rudy Ford at cornerback, I think you're expecting to be blown out. And I do think the Eagles were expecting to lose more handily than they did, and the timing of it was bad. As I said, I don't know why they didn't just go to Sudfeld at halftime. That would have made a lot more sense to me. And not doing that made absolutely zero sense whatsoever. But it was not a surprise that Sudfeld was going to play. We knew during the week Sudfeld was going to play. Like, this was something we had discussed. I was on the morning of the game, and I said that it is reported that Nate Sudfeld's going to play. So people in the locker room knew this was going to happen. And this is why I have such a problem with what Miles Sanders said on the Midday Show. This is a second-year player, and, you know, hope maybe he'll learn a little better. But I thought this was wrong. Here was Miles Sanders on the Midday Show talking about the decision to pull Jalen Hurts out of that game. We'll get to that in a minute here. Now, you know, this is coming from a guy who didn't even play in the game, first of all. So, I don't know what Miles Sanders thinks he's, you know, getting done by making a comment like that and undermining his coach as a second-year player. This is not, you know, if it's Jason Kelce saying that, I'm putting stock into it. If it's Brandon Graham saying that, I'm putting stock into it. I'm not putting stock into Miles Sanders questioning these decisions. And just for the record, if the Eagles end up with Devontae Smith or Ja'Marr Chase because they get the number 6 pick, it's going to make Miles Sanders' job a whole lot easier. So, you know, I don't really understand his complaints. But I thought, and this was, I thought, a bad look for a lot of Eagles players in general, like a lot of the younger players, is I thought it was wrong the way they kind of threw Sudfeld under the bus. Like, because I also saw, like, Kayvon Wallace is tweeting out about the decision. Kayvon Wallace is a rookie who stunk this year. He didn't make a play all year, barely got on the field, and he's tweeting out, you know, about how it was, you know, why would the Eagles make this decision? Why would you not try to win the game? First of all, I think it's wrong you do that to Nate Sudfeld. It's basically how many Eagles players came out this week, and we're basically publicly saying Nate Sudfeld is no good. Nate Sudfeld stinks. That might be true, and they might believe that. You don't do that to a teammate publicly. And I thought that was far worse than anything the Eagles did. The Eagles did something that was the right thing to do for their organization long term. And guess what? Everybody complaining about it is going to be fine with it when the Eagles get a good player at 6. Everybody. For all the phony outrage now, everybody's going to be thankful the Eagles did this down the road. So I'm done with these players. I'm done with Miles Sanders and Kayvon Wallace talking. All these young guys who haven't accomplished anything in this league yet. Let the big boys in the organization make these decisions, okay? There's a reason they're making them. It's going to help you down the line when you're here. The team's going to be better in the future. And it's going to mean more than winning a meaningless Week 17 game. And by the way, it's not unique. Everybody does it. Everybody plays young guys at the end of the season. And for a guy like Kayvon Wallace, it's probably where you're on the field more. You couldn't get on the field when the season mattered. You were probably on the field more in Week 17 because they were playing young guys and wanted to see what they had. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Let's go to Mark. What's up, Mark?
How you doing? I just wanted to say, I just wanted to say...
You're right there, Mark. You got something going on there?
Sorry, you caught me off guard there. I just wanted to say that I think Sudfeld getting in the game was definitely a tip of the cap from Peterson. I also think Jalen Hurts is not going to be on his team next year, personally.
Why do you think he's not going to be on the team, Mark?
I think he was the trade bait. I don't think Carson Wentz is going anywhere. I think that's going to be squashed. And that's just how I see it, man. I think he was trade bait. And like I said, I think it was a tip of the hat. And I think these guys that are young guys running their mouth, you know, they need to watch what they say here because they are making the coach look a little bad here. And I think what Peterson did as a lifetime backup, basically, thank you, as a lifetime backup, basically, just tipped the cap to another lifetime backup that probably played his role, didn't complain when Hurts came in and took the number two spot, and showed up every day and worked hard. And look, his contract was ending, and again, it was a classy move by Peterson, in my opinion.
But, Mark, I got to ask you about the Hurts thing. Like, why? What would be the incentive to trade Hurts when you just are coming off this horrible season by Wentz? You're unsure about him. You're pretty sure Sudfeld can't play. Why would you trade your kind of contingency plan?
Well, I mean, this is, you know, I thought they drafted him for that specific reason, I'll be honest with you, because I think Wentz is still the guy. Look, I know he hasn't performed, and I'm going to be honest with you, I'm not an Eagles fan. I'm a Philly guy, and I root Philly teams. But I'm going to say I feel like, the guy was there at the position. The value was there. There wasn't any real, parts that they needed. So they said, you know what, we could take this guy. They put him in. They figured if Wentz has a bad season, we'll put him in. And, again, that's another reason why I think they took him out of the game versus Washington. Washington had something to play for in a close game. He could have got hurt. And then now they got no trade bait. That's just my opinion. I mean, I got laughed at the air by Ike Reese and company.
Well, no, but I'm just saying Wentz did have a bad season. So why would you trade Hurts now?
I just think he's got more value right now. And Wentz, who's going to want to take that? What are you going to get for Wentz with the contract he has right now? I don't see any – I mean, there's a few teams that probably would be out there to beat that contract or some of it, but I don't think you're going to get the value in the draft pick that you're going to get for a Jalen Hurts who's – he's still – he has to be proven. But again, he's not a big money risk. That's where I'm at with that.
Yeah, I mean, that might be true. And I appreciate the call, Mark. Thanks, man. I just think that – I don't think you've seen enough from Jalen Hurts. And I don't think people around the league have seen enough from Jalen Hurts to trade a first-round pick for him. And if you're not getting a first-round pick, I'm not trading Jalen Hurts. That's your contingency plan. And, even if you're going to try to move forward with Carson, I mean, Carson, we know he's a little sensitive here. He's got to step back, and he's now needs to evaluate the situation, which he could have done those last few weeks when he was on the bench. But, Carson's got to evaluate things now. And if he comes back and he plays like this again, you're going to have no options. Like, you obviously think Sudfeld can't play. Or, I mean, you have to believe that, I would think, after seeing what we saw the other night. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm not trading Jalen Hurts. And I think trading Jalen Hurts is the least likely scenario of the quarterbacks this offseason. Let's go to Brett in Prospect Park. What's up, Brett?
Hey, how are you?
Not bad. How are you?
Pretty good, yeah. My thing, I don't understand how Howie is keeping his job. I don't understand. Why did we extend Carson Wentz when we extended him? When we could have simply picked up the fifth-year option and just saw how the last year played out, and we wouldn't be in this situation.
Well,
he got hurt every single year. Why not have just seen how it played out instead of trying to save money?
Well, what they were trying to do, Brett, is get ahead of the clock. And, he was coming off, I'd say, an average year in 2018, and they took a leap of faith that he would get back to where he was prior to the injury. Unfortunately, that didn't happen. I actually thought the thinking at the time was right to get him cheaper than you would have gotten him a year later. Unfortunately, he just didn't go back to being the same player.
Yeah. I mean, I understand that, and that has some logic. But then against that, then you go take a quarterback in the second round the very next year after this.
Well, there was a whole year of time that passed between then and between the contract and drafting Jalen Hurts. And I think whatever they saw in 2019 concerned them to the point where they didn't feel comfortable without a backup plan anymore.
Yeah, which is, I don't know, that just goes back to the point. I know what you're saying. I would have just picked the option up. But other than that, even the draft, how can he be the guy pulling the trigger at number six? This team hasn't developed a single player in the last 4 years. If Ja'Marr Chase or Devontae Smith comes here, I don't even think they'll be that good. If Jefferson came here, I don't think he would have been Jefferson.
Yeah, I mean, there's reason to question that, Brett, and I appreciate the call, man. Thanks. I think part of it has to do with player evaluation. I mean, Jefferson, obviously, when used correctly, is a very good player. I mean, he's shown that this year. But, of course, there's reason to question that in regards to the Eagles because they have bad track record at drafting wide receivers, and they have bad track record at using wide receivers. When you look at a guy like Nelson Agholor and the success that he has had elsewhere, it's concerning. And, those look like can't-miss guys. They appear like they are going to be studs at this level. With the Eagles organization, I think you're right to question their wide receiver evaluations and the way they coach these guys up. And obviously the quarterback plays into it as well. And right now you have an uncertain quarterback situation, and that plays in to a lot of it here. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. 215-592-9494. Open lines right now if you want to get in. I'm Tom Kelly, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Sports Radio 94 WIP. We need to get to two games here at the end of the segment. I forgot to do one last segment. I got to say, and Mike, I need your help on this one here. I'm disappointed in our friend VG here. He's tweeted in. He's disappointed in my take about players being honest. He says, how is it a bad thing for a young player to be honest? I mean, come on, VG. I mean, you really think Kayvon Wallace has the credentials to be out here questioning Doug Peterson? I'm disappointed in VG's take that he's one of these guys who's phony upset about the Eagles losing that game. I saw your tweets, VG. I saw you're upset that the Eagles lost the game. You're not going to be upset when they're drafting six. Come on, man.
I get the players like wanting to win, but like I don't know, as a fan, the draft pick.
Yeah, exactly. Like, but
we should be used to this as Sixers fans.
Now, Mike, what do you think? What do you think of these guys out here? You know, Miles Sanders on the air questioning Doug's decision making.
I thought that was bogus because he wasn't around to play. He wasn't available to play, and so it's like, you know, if you're not going to play in the game, like why do you need to be one of the first people to know that Sudfeld's coming in? You weren't playing,
right?
Like apparently Kelsey.
He said he didn't sit well with anyone. How does he know? I mean, I guess he talks to – I don't think he talked to everyone on the team. He may have talked to the young guys who wanted Jalen Hurts in. I get that, but
– I don't know.
Come on, man.
Yeah, I mean, Kelsey said that he – Kelsey basically called McClain wrong and said that – or called McClain's report wrong and said that he didn't confront Doug. He just asked Doug if it was Sudfeld time – because you had to practice taking snaps, practice the cadence.
That just is a phrase that makes me laugh. Sudfeld like, could you just see Kelsey going up to Doug? Hey, slaps him on the back. Hey, Doug, is it time for Sudsy yet? Yeah. Is it Sudfeld time? And Kayvon Wallace. I mean, get the hell out of here. Kayvon Wallace tweeting about, is that the right decision? I care less what Kayvon Wallace has to say. How about you make a play first, and then you can talk? Guy did nothing all year. He's a bust. Another bust. Fourth round safety. He's supposed to come in and be a big time producer on the defense. Guy does nothing all year. Get out of here.
Clemson safety, you know, Brian Dawkins.
Yeah.
Wasn't he supposed to be that?
I thought
I heard that connection.
Dawkins loved him. And maybe, you know, and I don't know. I just, I don't care what Kayvon Wallace has to say on this issue. I just don't. And I'm disappointed in you, VG. I'm disappointed in your take. So.
Six is better than nine.
Yeah, it is. When you put them together, they're both really good.
If you can get both,
you know, that's great. But, you know, I'd rather have the six pick. That's all I'm going to say.
I wonder if a team is ever 69 in the drafts.
Six, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, 6-9.
Yeah, you said that wrong, but yeah, I get it. Yeah. Maybe. It'd be nice if the Eagles could end up picking up both picks in the end. Maybe they, you know, move a couple. Maybe you get the ninth pick for Carson Wentz. Who's picking ninth?
Yeah, right.
Who's got the ninth pick? Do we know?
Well, would it be the Giants?
Team with the quarterback? Oh, is it the Giants?
Well, because if the Eagles won, they would have been ninth.
I don't think
or
it
the
works
Cowboys.
Like
the
that.
Cowboys.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure. The Eagles have that tie. That messes everything up. But 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Let's go to Matt in the Northeast. What's up, Matt?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Well, just two quick things. The fact is, if you look at Baltimore a couple years ago when we won the Super Bowl, Baltimore, I believe, took Hollywood and then actually traded back in at 32 and took Lamar. So we kind of see how that has transpired and worked out in Baltimore. But second off, if they're going for a rebuild or a reboot, I wholeheartedly think that they got to trade out everybody that can possibly be traded that you can get some kind of value back for. A, to obviously get younger, faster guys to come in and to make impacts right away, but also B, to obviously free up as much cap space as possible. So, you know, and I agree with you guys. I'd rather pick it 6 than 9 just because due to the fact that if you're looking to go receiver, somebody may jump up and almost like the Cowboys did last year and take CD, and yeah, then you're out of a playmaker that you obviously need.
Yeah,
you know,
Matt.
And I
just want to say, Matt, I think you look at the two receivers here, Ja'Marr Chase and Devontae Smith, I think you're almost guaranteed one of them will be there at 6. I don't think either of them will be there at 9.
No, absolutely not. And, you know, like I said, I mean, you know, if you get enough draft capital for, say, to move back into the first round after you make that pick at 6, which I think that's something that they should be looking at to address the linebacker or the cornerback position, you know, I think that's a smart move.
Yeah, no, I hear you, Matt, and I appreciate the call, man. Thanks a lot. And yeah, I mean, the Eagles, they got to remake the defense. I'm interested to see, and that's really the first thing to happen this offseason is what do you do at defensive coordinator now that Schwartz is gone? Because, you know, do you go back to a 3-4? I've heard that mentioned a little bit. I personally wouldn't do that. I don't think you have the personnel for that. But I guess that's an option. I'm looking at defensive coordinator kind of candidates here. And one of the names that I've kind of come around on is DeMeco Ryans. He obviously used to play for the Eagles. I think last in 2014, he got hurt in that game in Houston. And you remember what else happened in that game in Houston, Mike? You remember the big notable change in that game?
Nick Foles broke his collarbone.
Nick Foles broke his collarbone, and that was the beginning of the Sanchez era, which actually wasn't bad for a few weeks. Sanchez was actually, in 2014, he was not bad.
They were 9-3 after
that Thanksgiving
beat the Cowboys on Christmas. It was more shady than him.
Thanksgiving. That was Thanksgiving, yeah.
Did I not say that?
You said Christmas. You were thinking Jeff Garcia.
No, I was thinking Thanksgiving, so the wrong thing.
Right. Okay, sorry. But yeah, Sanchez was pretty good that year. But yeah, I remember that game because that was the game Sanchez came in. But DeMeco Ryans gets hurt in that game, and that's his last game with the Eagles. But he's gone to San Francisco, and he's their linebackers coach. He's worked under Robert Saleh, and Robert Saleh is likely going to get a job this offseason as a head coach. So DeMeco Ryans may be promoted there, but if I was the Eagles, I'd look to take him. I mean, you look at San Francisco's linebackers. I mean, he's done a great job with those guys. Fred Warner, a guy who not a lot of people knew about a few years ago, is one of the best linebackers in football now. Quan Alexander, who they signed from Tampa Bay, is a really good player. And that is an aggressive defense. It's a fast defense. They were 7 minutes away from winning the Super Bowl until Patrick Mahomes hit that deep ball to Tyreek Hill. That kind of changed that game. But as far as coordinators go, I would look at DeMeco Ryans very closely. And, you know, with him coming over with that approach, I for all the people that want the Eagles to put more of an emphasis on linebackers, DeMeco Ryans strikes me as a guy who would put an emphasis on the linebacker position. I don't think we'd have Nate Gary in here as your top linebacker anymore.
He's not the top linebacker anymore.
Probably. Regardless of how much you love him, Mike.
He's their third best linebacker, I guess.
Right. So, DeMeco Ryans, name to keep your eye on here.
Yeah.
You don't like him?
That's a Bengals or Chargers move. That's a team that doesn't want to.
He's been a part of a good staff. Good staff out there in San Fran.
That's a team that doesn't want to actually pay for a real one. So they want to let a guy learn on the job and pay him nothing. And, like, let another team do that.
So what do you want to do? You want to lure Wade out of retirement? Wade's a good defensive coordinator. I like Wade.
I like Wade, too.
He's good on Twitter, too.
Although San Francisco has improved, or L.A. has improved without him defensively.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just want a guy that's been there before. Like, it's not learning on the job. Like, I want somebody who's been a defensive coordinator before.
Not Mike Nolan. I don't want, you know, he's getting Tabasco sauce in his eyes and stuff
well,
like that.
Well, he's a Cowboys.
Right. Isn't he getting fired? I thought he was going to get fired. I'm not sure. Let's go to Abdul in North Philly. What's up, Abdul?
Hey, no, I just wanted to comment on the James Harden, Ben Simmons trade.
Yeah, sure.
Actually, I think it wouldn't be a bad trade, but the only thing that we're going to lose is the movement of the basketball. The ball going to stick with James Harden. And it might even upset him because everything goes through him. You understand what I'm saying? So I think it could cause a risk a little bit. And, the way Embiid playing, he confident, he in shape, and I just don't want to mess up that dynamic. But on the other hand, we like one shooter away from being contenders. If we can find that one piece, we'll be fine. The space has been good. We've been hitting shots. If we continue to be consistent, hit them open shots, we're going to be a problem anyway.
Yeah, but
making that move for James Harden, I think that's too much, man. I think that ball going to stick too much. He got to have the ball. The ball not going to move as much. It's fluid. It's going to mess up the whole dynamic. I'm telling you, it's not going to work.
Well, I'll tell you what, Abdul. The offense has been a lot better than I expected it to be. It was a little clunky at first, but like you said, they're moving the ball. And the guy I've been so impressed by is Seth. Are you on a motorcycle, Abdul?
I'm in my car. I'm working, but I can hear you, though.
Sounded like you were on a motorcycle. But,
I'm working.
Okay. But Seth Curry has been a much better offensive player, all-around offensive player than I thought he would be.
Right.
So
he's been good. He's been a surprise. I didn't know that he shoot. You know, not seeing him on the West Coast play all the time. I heard about him able to shoot. But I never actually watched him in the whole game shoot the ball. He looks great.
He's been tremendous, and I appreciate it, Abdul. Thanks, man. Yeah, I mean, you look at the Sixers' offense. They score 141 points on Wednesday night. They have 82 in the first half, and at times their ball movement. I mean, Ben Simmons, we all know he's a phenomenal passer, but even for him, he made some passes on Wednesday night that were just insane, where he gets in the lane one time, passes one out to Shake Milton, he swings it to Danny Green in the corner, and as they walk to the bench for a timeout, Danny Green just like shaking his head at Simmons, just like astonished that he was able to make this pass. But they look really good, and it'll be interesting now as they get into a stretch where they're playing better competition, because they haven't beaten a ton of good teams so far. Best team they've beaten, as far as the team you thought would be good coming in, was Toronto, and they have not played well. Toronto's 1-6 at this point. But tonight's going to be a really good test. You look at the next week here. You go at Brooklyn, Denver, at Atlanta. Atlanta's a dangerous team. They're playing well, a good young team, and then a back-to-back with Miami. So you're going to find out a lot about the Sixers in the next week, I think, here. 215-592-9494. Let's get back to our playoff preview here. And we'll do Bucks-Washington, as that is the night game Saturday night. I'm excited for this one.
I guess we could have skipped this one. But yeah,
you don't like this one?
What, do you think this is going to be a game?
I think it's going to be tighter than some expect. Now, Now, this is, I believe, an NBC game. I guess this is going to be Tirico and Dungy, because I guess Collinsworth and Michaels will be on the Sunday night game.
That's a good call, yeah.
So I guess we'll get the Tirico and Dungy crew. What do you think here, Mike? I'm assuming you think this is going to be a Tampa blowout. How do you think these teams match up? I think the Washington football team defensive line could get after TB12 a little bit.
I used to think that. Then I saw them go against Toth and Pryor. It changed my mind.
I love the comment that that Collinsworth, the tidbit he gave on Chase Young.
I didn't hear it. I had the TV down. I was listening to Merrill Mike.
Right. But I, you know, just in the rare moments I turned up the TV. Chase Young said, "I'm about business and ball." And that's it. I like that. I like that mentality. Business and ball.
You know who he's boys with?
Who's that?
Markelle Fultz.
Oh, I don't like Chase Young anymore. By the way, once again, sorry to Markelle. Markelle tore his ACL. Seriously, in all seriousness, hope he recovers and everything.
You just hate to see it. You never want to root for that.
Never want to root for it.
Even on opposing teams, never want that to happen.
You don't, and it's sad, but hopefully he comes back strong next year. He did sign a $50 million extension last week, so good timing for him. But your analysis, Mike.
I think Tampa wins like 28-6.
Tampa?
Tampa, yeah.
I'm going to go 27-20, Tampa 20. Bay. Yeah,
Alex Smith scoring 20?
I think it's going to be 27-13, and then maybe a little backdoor cover situation here.
But, and they kick it instead of going for two?
Yeah, it's Ron Rivera. I mean, he's not going to go. He's not a go for two guy
it's
there.
Riverboat Ron.
He got labeled Riverboat Ron because he went for fourth down like once when he was about to get fired, and that name is just stuck.
And it was at like the 44 yard line. It wasn't like that crazy.
And then he never did anything riverboatish again his entire career in Carolina. So I don't think that's a very apt name.
Okay.
But yeah, I don't know. I don't really like any of the games from a betting perspective on Saturday, at least. I think that game's closer than people think, and only a 7.5-point line. That tells you that they believe it's going to be a close one as well. But we get to the next one. This is, I think, the best game of the week. Sunday afternoon, 1 o'clock, rematch of last year's divisional round matchup between the Baltimore Ravens and the Tennessee Titans. Baltimore, as hot as anybody coming in, aside from the Buffalo Bills. They've been whooping up, but they've been whooping up on a bunch of bad teams.
Yeah, Browns.
Yeah, they beat the Browns, but that was a close one. I'm talking the last 3 weeks.
Put 40-something up on them, though.
But that was like a month ago at this point.
I thought that was like in the holiday season.
Week 14, yeah. Monday Niner. But I get your point. Tennessee comes in, very good offense, a dreadful defense. They almost blew that game to Houston last week. They still would have won the division. I'm not sure if they would have still made the playoffs. They would just not have won the division, I believe. I think that's right. But anyway, it doesn't matter. We go into this one. Baltimore's 3-point favorites in this game. I think that line's about right on. I'm going to take the Ravens 27-24 here. How do you see this one going, Mike?
Yeah, I like the Ravens a lot here. Double revenge game. Well, the playoff game and then the regular season game. They blew a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter of a regular season matchup a couple weeks ago, if you recall. I hope this is the Nance Sims game.
It will be. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Now, yeah, CBS, they got lucky. They got the two good games of the week here because they got that one.
Because they could be in Buffalo.
Right. But I think Buffalo, that'll probably be – what's their number two? Ian Eagle?
Ian, yeah.
And whoever he's with.
I don't know.
By the way, I heard an interview with Ian Eagle recently. Very funny guy. Very good personality.
Seems funny.
Yeah, he is. Very, very funny guy. He used to be a stand-up comedian. Did you know that?
No.
A little Ian Eagle trivia tonight. You never know what you're going to get on this show. Never know.
Music.
Right. Music. I'm a music guy now. As I told Booker.
Booker told you.
Yeah. And Al, I mean, I give Al music advice every day. So, I'm the music guy at the station. Everybody knows that. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. 215-592-9494. When we get back, we will preview another game, the Bears and the Saints, and do some other stuff as well. I do want to pay tribute to Zach Ertz, who likely played his last game as an Eagle on Sunday night. So we'll do that coming up next. I'm Tom Kelly, Sports Radio 94 WYP. Sports Radio 94 WIP. I'm Tom Kelly in for Big Daddy Graham. If you want to get in, 215-592-9494. And real quick, I did just want to, we never got to it the other night with so much Eagle stuff going on. But Zach Ertz played his last game as an, likely played his last game as an Eagle on Sunday night. And one of the, I think greatest Eagles ever. I mean, biggest touchdown in Eagles history. And it's not even questionable. You know, the winning touchdown in the Super Bowl, and a guy who had a great career here after starting really slow. I mean, he had a couple of years where he underperformed, had the thing in 2016 in Cincinnati where he had that issue where people thought he didn't make a block he could have made and was, you know, dealing with a lot of criticism at that point.
To me, that was so far removed from his legacy that I forgot it even happened until he brought it up.
Right. And, you know, one thing in this city is you always like when the guys really care and they really care about being here. And, you know, we pretty much know, I guess it's not for sure, but you pretty much know Zach Ertz played his final game the other night as an Eagle, and he was out after the game with Kelce and Wentz on the sidelines, and I guess all of them kind of thinking about the fact that it could be their last games in Philadelphia. Carson needs to think it over a little bit. He might want to be back, might not. We'll see what happens in the next few weeks here. But Jason Kelce in the postgame press conference got very, very emotional. Here was Jason Kelce after the game on Sunday night, reflecting on his career at...
It was Monday.
Monday, right, Monday afternoon. Thank you, Mike. Reflecting on his career in Philadelphia. Sports Radio 94 WIP. I'm Tom Kelly with you for one more segment here. And we reported the breaking news last hour, but we will report it for anybody who's just tuning in now. Breaking news on 94 WIP. Brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Vans. Find out how far an extra mile really goes. And the breaking news is that they have ratified the election results. So Joe Biden will be inaugurated as president 2 weeks from yesterday. So that is the breaking news that we reported last hour, finalized in the 3 o'clock hour. So there is your breaking news. After a crazy day yesterday, the process has been completed. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. 215-592-9494. At the end of the show here, we'll break down the final two playoff games. But one of the things that's, I mean, I can't believe this Eagles tank situation, which ironically, I don't even think was a tank situation. Like, I think Doug legitimately wanted to get Nate Sudfeld playing time. And I think the timing of it was just really bad to do it when he did it in the fourth quarter instead of at halftime. But the amount of people nationally who have just been outraged over this has just been insane to me. And the first guy is probably the MVP of the league, best player in the NFL right now, Patrick Mahomes. And I don't know why Patrick Mahomes was asked about this, to be honest with you, but he was. And here was Patrick Mahomes' take on what happened in Philadelphia for some reason.
Yeah, I mean, you know, never know what's going on inside the team or the organization. But I mean, just watching how he's played the last few weeks, it did kind of confuse me at the time. But you never know. And so for me, I would have wanted to play and finish out the season, no matter what our record was. But whatever the coach thought was best for the team, he did, and you have to back that as a guy on the team.
Patrick Mahomes play last week? I mean, he just said, I'd want to be out there no matter what my record was, but you weren't out there last week, right? I'm not wrong about this, right, Mike? He didn't play.
You're correct. And also, Pat Mahomes got his, you know, start and kind of won his job by getting a chance in a Week 17 game.
That's a good point.
Rookie year.
That's a good point.
Like,
that's right.
He played well in that game and gave the Chiefs confidence in going forward with him.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why Patrick Mahomes was asked about this, but okay. You know, he says he would have played no matter what after not playing the final week of the season. So I didn't get that part of it. Here's more. Here's former NFL quarterback Trent Dilfer also outraged about what the Eagles did.
I actually got angry when that happened because I put on my kind of football player team hat and remembered the years of sacrifice you make and the brothers that you have in the locker room that are sacrificing so much each week to get ready to play. And then I started thinking about what week 17 feels like to the center, to the defensive tackle, to the linebacker that physically is putting his livelihood on the line each week, that at the end of the year he's beat up, he's tired, he's dealing with 5, 6, 7, 8 nagging injuries, and he's going out there to put on the line for his teammates, and you're robbing him of a chance to win a football game.
I mean, it's not like they just intentionally turned the ball over. It's not like they just put the ball on the field and said, all right, Washington, take it and run it in for a touchdown. They put in a different quarterback. And Trent Dilfer is, and by the way, Trent Dilfer stunk as a quarterback. He was Nate Sudfeld, essentially. Ended up winning a Super Bowl, but that was, I mean, let's face it, that was because of defense.
Sudfeld won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, true. Good point, Mike. You know, he acts like they're doing this great disservice. Nate Sudfeld played, what, 3 possessions? Like, seriously? I don't know. It's just weird to me. But then you had Tony Kornheiser. He took it to a whole different level. Here was Tony Kornheiser on what he thinks should be done.
Well, I think this is an integrity issue. I would like to see the NFL say he wasn't coaching to win. We're going to fine him $1 million. I think it's also an arrogance issue. I think Doug Peterson was very, very arrogant about this.
Fine him $1 million. I mean, that's not an insignificant amount of money here. Kornheiser can't mean that. He can't mean that, right, Mike? Like, finding Doug $1 million for something that coaches do all the time in Week 17? That's got to be just a hot take. Hot take, right? For what's that show called again? Pardon the interruption. It's been a while. I was thinking pardon my take. That's what I was thinking. That's why I got caught up in the air there.
I mean, it's just funny because we both agree, clearly wasn't Doug's decision. It's just funny if, like, how he sticks Doug with that bill, then $1 million fine.
Right. Well, this next one, I don't even know if this is in regards to the tank, but Colin Cowherd just wanted to take a shot at Philadelphia, I guess. Here's Colin Cowherd.
Let's be honest about the Philadelphia Eagles, and we sort of predicted this, didn't we? They couldn't handle a little success. We've all had the loser brother-in-law, coworker, family member. They make a little lettuce, job promotion. 2 years later, they're a bigger mess than they've ever been. Philadelphia is now just Dallas, but has worse weather. They're just loud.
What does that have to do with the... Was that on the tanking issue, or is that just in general the Eagles are not doing well?
I don't know. I don't watch that show.
What's worse, that take or his backwards hat take?
Well, I was going to ask you...
maybe that is wrong.
Well, Sudfeld had his hat forward-facing.
Right. You know what? What if Cowherd's on to something? Maybe that we should have known about Wentz when he's wearing that hat backwards. Maybe he was on to something.
What's his record since then?
I don't know. That's a good point.
That or the convention.
That happened right before the season, didn't it?
No. It happened during the season.
During the season.
Because remember, he gave like a Wednesday news conference wearing his hat backwards.
That's right. And it outraged Colin Cowherd. We'll have to look into that. Great. I'll never get tired of hearing that.
Nick Foles wears that forwards.
Yeah. And here's one more. And this one is what bothers me the most. The most annoying guy in sports media today. He is. No, this guy's the worst. He shouldn't be on TV anymore. It's brutal. Like, I can't watch a game that he's commentating. I can't do it. The act is so over the top. It is so annoying that I can't watch a college basketball game that Dick Vitale's commentating. I cannot do it. But here was Dick Vitale so outraged about what the Eagles did as well.
But I want to talk about another game. The Eagles against Washington. Unbelievable. I mean, the Eagles lose that football game, and I'm going to tell you what. Coach Peterson said at the press conference, I played to win. Come on now, Coach. I respect what you've achieved in your career, but please don't tell me you played to win. You bring in a kid that hadn't taken a snap all year, put him in that position when the game meant so much in the NFL. Playoff at stake, millions of dollars at stake. Jalen Hurts should have been on the field. That was really a disgrace to the game, to the NFL. I thought it was Bush League all the way. And in that situation, Coach, you let everybody down. I think you let your team down as well. by bringing in a kid that had not played in a situation all year? Come on now. Give me a break. Stand tall and admit it. Admit it. Take care.
What's the take care at the end? This is the same guy who defended Rick Pitino for all that stuff at Louisville. Yet Doug Peterson's a disgrace for putting in a backup quarterback in fourth quarter, final game of the season. I can't stand. I'm sorry. I can't take Dickie V. He sounds like, you know, a nice guy. I don't know. He's the worst.
What is his angle?
He is
here?
The worst. I don't know. He just wants to, you know, Dickie V at this point. He just wants to be heard. He's probably, you know, I don't know. So you don't mind Dickie V, Mike? We might have to do a Dickie V centered topic coming up.
Well, I think what we have to do is properly rank who are the worst broadcasters. Because I can't say he's the worst. He's like, I don't know.
My hell would be watching college basketball constantly with Dick Stockton and Dick Vitale. That would be the worst. That would be the worst broadcast tandem possible.
I mean, there's, yeah. Are you talking about just national guys?
Yeah, just I just can't. Just annoying people. People that annoy you.
Okay.
Dick Vitale just annoys me.
There's a local one I just can't hear anymore. That's what I was thinking.
All right. Well, we'll keep that to ourselves, I guess. Mm-hmm. But let's do our final two games, Mike. Pump up that music. Is that music still running there? There we go. Okay, next up we got the Saints and the Bears. Saints giving 9.5. I would love to see the Saints choke in this game. It would give me so much joy. And by the way, the NFL, what a shame that they, you know, they did the Saints a real favor scheduling this game on Sunday. Because if they scheduled on Saturday, Kamara couldn't have played. And they said, oh, that didn't factor into our decision. Yeah, right. Of course.
Well, they probably did the Browns a favor, too, another day to get, you know, more negatives.
Yeah, but I mean, the Browns are probably still going to be without Stefanski, right? Isn't that?
Yeah, but it could have been worse. Like, they could have. It's another day where they can get their act together with, you know, because, like, their facility's shut down right now.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
If they had a game Saturday, it would have been tougher.
Right. But Saints given 9.5. Now, I think we all know the Saints are much better offensively than the Bears are. We'll see if Mitch can get it together against that defense. I, as much as I want to see the Saints choke, I don't think it's going to happen. I'm going Saints. I'll go 33-16 here.
That's a good score. Yeah, I mean, Chicago probably score some garbage yards and points in the second half.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to be a very good game at all. I think Breeze is going to be sloppy still. Kamara probably will do most of the damage. And
it's just amazing to me the Bears got in the playoffs. Like,
well, that's why, I don't know, I'm not a fan of the expanded playoffs. Like, we didn't need to go from 6-7 just to get the Chicago Bears in the playoffs.
Now, do you think if Mitch struggles at all, they go to Nick for a little spark? Nick does his best work in the playoffs in New Orleans. Almost won that game.
Well, if Alshon didn't drop it,
yeah.
And the Saints just gave up for the final 2 minutes.
Right.
Yeah.
What do you think of the chances Nick gets in this game?
8%.
Okay.
I'll make it 9 for him.
All right, there you go. And to close it out, Steelers-Browns, as we said, Browns dealing with a bunch of COVID issues again. Kevin Stefanski will be out. That's an absolute killer for them because he's a really good coach. I was wrong about him. I still think they cover the 6, but I don't – if they were completely good to go, I'd probably pick the Browns to go there and win the game. I will not – pick that, but I'll pick the Steelers to win. I'll say 23-20.
Wow, so you think that Kevin Stefanski is that much of a swing?
I think he's a
4-point swing.
Yeah, absolutely. I think missing him is a huge deal. I think, you know, obviously Clemson's defense was terrible the other night, but Clemson not having their offensive coordinator, I think, was a huge deal in that game.
Yeah. I think it's going to be a really, like, poorly played game, just really sloppy, but I think Pittsburgh does, like, Roethlisberger does what he needs to do in Tomlin to manage the game and manage what they need to do to win the game. And I'll say 21-17.
21-17. All right. So that's our playoff preview. And we will see what happens, and we'll have a recap on Sunday night. So that's the show for tonight. Thank you for listening. Thanks to Mike Angelina for producing. Next up, we will talk to Al Morgani for the Overlap Show.